Brian, good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. And wide awake, I hope. Good. Good to be able to share with you from God's Word. I would ask you if you would just say a prayer for me this morning. I've been battling a sinus headache all night. And I smiled when Brother Frank said his night was short. I would tell you how short mine was. I knew 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 5. But I had a little sleep in between. And it does ruin your day sometimes, but nevertheless, God is good. I want to share this with you. It might make you smile before we get into the Word this morning. Particularly in this early morning hour. Maybe you've heard it before. Sunday morning, a priest saw a little boy by the name of Davy standing in the foyer of the church. And he was staring at a large plaque hanging in that foyer. And on that plaque was covered with names and small American flags were mounted on either side of it. So little Davy looked up into the face of the priest and he said, "What is this?" And the priest said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service." They stood together for a little while quietly, staring at the memorial plaque. And little Davy softly asked, "Which service did they die in, the 9 o'clock or the 10:30? So I hope we don't have to record you dying in the 7 o'clock this morning." If you have your Bibles, I want to share with you this morning what the Lord has laid in my heart on the basic disciplines in our lives as Christians as we walk with the Lord each day. The basic disciplines in our lives as Christians as we walk with the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You find that hard to do? I hope not. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he wasn't happy with that. He said, "And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation or self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, worried for nothing." Oh, that's another impossibility, right? No. "Be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the result. And the peace of God, not the peace of the world, that only lasts for a little bit. Matter of fact, they're constantly trying, men are all over the world trying to find peace, searching. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Then he goes on, he writes to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, and there he lists some of the Christian virtues again. He says in verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, Brother Frank must have had a premonition by the Spirit to sing that little chorus this morning. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a complaint or quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things put on charity, her love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And there's the finality. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all. I like that. Do all, not just a part, not just three quarters, but do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts this morning. There are many virtues recorded in the Scriptures that are essential in our lives to be followed as we walk the road of life each day. I think many times we spend a lot of time looking at what we consider to be the basic ones. The basic ones. We think of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They're wonderful. We need them. We must learn to live by them. Then we can look at Ephesians chapter 6. And there we're given the armor of God that we should put on. And it covers from the helmet of salvation to the feet being prepared as the gospel of peace. And we try to follow those. But you know, there are some other little ones that perhaps many of us overlook lots of times. And these are the ones that disturb us. These are the ones that cause us to lose out on the joy of the Lord, on the peace of the Lord, on praising the Lord, on rejoicing as we read. These are essential. We may not think so, but they are. And I want to look at some of those in a little while. But I was thinking while preparing this, you know, there are many times in life that we talk to different ones, and particularly I'm thinking of the believer. And we ask them a question. And the question is this. And maybe you heard it already today. How are you today? How are you today? Now, what's the answer that sometimes we get? Sometimes we give? Oh, I'm just trying to survive. Is that true? I hope you didn't say it already today. We're asked, how are you? Oh, I'm just trying to survive. What? You're just trying to survive? Is that what a Christian life is all about? Is that the attitude that God wants you and I to have? To just live our lives just trying to survive? And the answer is no. The answer is no. I know And I don't think you know any better than I know the fact that we go through difficult times in life. We have our daily ups and downs, and perhaps when you got out of bed this morning, the devil met you at the foot of the bed. But that does not give us a reason to give up on our joy and our peace and our happiness, which we already possess, which God has already given to us. It's ours. We have it. We don't have to go and look for it. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He filled our hearts with His Holy Spirit and gave us joy and peace and love and all of the other good things. And those are the virtues that we need to think of every day that we live. Every day. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul writes some of the wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Yes, we're sitting here this morning, but we're not our own. If you're a child of God, we belong to God. And all that He has is ours. But you know something? So many times in our lives we live like spiritual paupers. And God has all of His blessings. He's given them to, they're ours. And we should live as believers our lives accordingly. We should live our lives accordingly. In verse 11 of that same chapter of Ephesians 1, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." Stop worrying about the inheritance in this life, what grandma and grandpa's going to leave you, or mom and dad. Think about the inheritance that we already have been given by Jesus Christ. We're rich. Because all of that He owns and all that He has is yours and mine for the asking. He holds it all in His hand. So then why? Why should we go about every day just looking as if we've been baptized in pickle juice sometimes? And looking so sad and so sorrowful when we have all of these good things that God has given to us? We have these inheritances. In verse 13 He says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee." It's guaranteed of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. You feel better now? I hope so. We're His children. Yes, we need to be happy. We have life. We should have life, real life. The Bible says in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life." And He certainly wasn't talking about the life that we live. He says that you might have more abundant life. Abundant life. He came to give us abundant life. He gave us abundant forgiveness for our sins and our failures. He's given us the abundant resources of our lives to live daily for Him. And beloved, we need to live. We need to use them. We need to use them every day that we live. I want to share with you just a couple this morning as I have the time. And the first one I want us to think about was what we read in Philippians 4:4. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice." Be thankful. How thankful are we? Let's be honest. How thankful are we? The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." In Psalm 107, verse 1, again he writes, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I would almost guarantee that every one of you can say this morning that God is good, because you've experienced something in your lives that you know it was of God, and God has blessed you in so many ways. He is good. And we should begin our day. And so many times we fail. We should begin our day rejoicing. Rejoicing in our faith in God. Rejoicing in our Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself thus. And we should remind ourselves, if we haven't also done today, on a daily basis, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Did we do that this morning? "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad therein." Instead of saying, and I hope we didn't say that this morning, when we opened our eyes, "Good Lord, morning again." You know, we have a tendency to do that. You have a rough day. And, you know, I was thinking about the dear people that are taking care of the food and all of the amenities that's going on. And I believe sometimes the Lord might overlook just a little bit of that. But only in those cases where these dear people have worked so hard and so tired. And maybe they did get up this morning and say, "Oh, morning again." But we should say when we wake up in the morning, not "Good Lord, it's morning," but "Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. We're awake. We're alive. You've spared our lives to see another day. You've spared our lives to share our life with others. You've spared our lives to tell somebody about you, to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, some soul that may be dying, someone that needs a word of love, a word of encouragement. Good morning, Lord. Thank you. We're here. We're alive. You have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And we can probably go on and on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 8 reminds us of this. "The godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content." We can be content with the amenities of life, but be thankful to God for what he has given to us every day. The greatest gift of all this morning, I'm sure that you would agree with me, was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world, and that love covered you, covered me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The greatest gift that man has ever known. If you don't have anything else in life to be thankful for, be thankful for that. Be thankful that God gave us that great gift of salvation. Be thankful as well for the privilege that we have to talk with him. You know, I think sometimes in our lives as Christians, we just take it so casually. Well, we can talk to him at any time, any place. Yes, we can. But do we do it? Do we do it? How much time do you and I spend in prayer with our Savior? And oh, it's such a wonderful privilege to talk to him, isn't it? To know that he hears. To know that he answers prayer. Just to have the privilege, beloved, when we consider who we are. When we consider who we were, as we heard our brother Jeff last night, all of us, the Bible says, all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because he loved us, and he gave himself for us, and he opened the way, when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, it opened the avenues that you and I could come directly to our Father's throne. And what a privilege to stand there, sinner saved by grace, and talk to the great God of the universe. Should thrill our hearts this morning. To talk with him and to know that he cares and he understands. Secondly, do we pray expectantly when we pray? Do we pray expectantly when we pray? The thought is this. Do we just in a hurried moment of life issue up a few short sentences and run off with the rest of our day? Or do we really pray sincerely and believe within our hearts that God cares and that God will hear and answer our prayers? Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Do we take everything to the Lord in prayer? We sing that song and it's beautiful. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But do we do that in our daily walk of life? Do we take that time to pray? Do we take that time to give to him the needs of our life? He knows them definitely, but he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. Do we take the time? We don't necessarily have to get on our knees. We don't necessarily have to lock ourselves away in a closet as the scripture recommends that we do. But we can talk to him at any time. We can share with him our most intimate secrets in our lives. And he won't tell anybody else either. But he will listen at what we have to say. And I want to tell you this morning that I can testify in my own personal life. And nobody can change my mind about that fact. That God hears and answers prayer. I want you to believe that. God hears and answers prayer. And we need to learn to commit to him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all. I like these little three-letter words. We overlook them so often. Casting all. It means everything. We might say, well, oh, God's too busy. God is never too busy. Whatever situation may exist in your life, take it to God in prayer. Whatever problem in your life, whatever it may be, don't wait. And this is a problem in so many of us. We wait until there's an emergency in our life. And the first thing we say is, let's pray. Let's pray. Beloved, if we're going to pray, excuse me. If we're going to pray sincerely, and if we're going to expect God to answer our prayers, we need to be in touch with God all day long. We need to be in touch with God. We need to be sharing with him. We need to have direction in our lives each day. Why? Because if we don't do it, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. When somebody asks you how you're doing today, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying to survive. That's why we're trying to survive, is because we're not doing what we should be doing. We're not using the Christian virtues that God has granted to us and thanking him and praying to him for all his good. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, he's there. He will be there. And he comes to us in all shapes, sizes, and forms. And if he can ruin your day, he will. He will stop you from the moment you open your eyes in the morning, and he will keep interfering with you all through the day. And so many times, as he does, we give in because we don't pray. Because we don't ask God to give us at the beginning of the day the strength that we need to see us through the day. Now, that's not to say we won't stumble. We're not perfect. But if we ask God at the beginning of the day to give us the strength for the day and the courage to stand to face the foe, we would have done our part and God will fulfill his part. We would have done our part and God will have fulfilled his part. Prayer, beloved, is essential. I think, and I will not stand here and be an hypocrite this morning and say to you that I pray as often as I should. None of us do. But I tell you something this morning, we need to pray. The Lord Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jeremiah 33 says, 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Beloved, if we're going to pray, we need to believe. We need to believe that with God, all things are possible. Thirdly, we need to learn to speak kindly. Speak kindly. Philippians 4. And verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. An unkind word could ruin your day. An unkind word spoken by you or I to someone else could ruin their day. Could be the means of turning them off, of wanting to know more about Jesus. We need to remember the words of the great proverb, the proverb of Solomon in Proverbs 15, verse 1. Saith, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's a virtue that we need to use every day as well. Be careful of what we say. Be careful of how we say it. Remember, God is listening. Remember what we say. Let us think positive about others around us. Let us focus on the moral goodness of those around us. Let us think about the good things rather than focusing on others' faults and failures. If we can do this, our lives would be a whole lot better. Thriving for the Lord. There's a couple more. The last I will leave with you this morning, and this is perhaps one of the most difficult ones that we have, one that we would much rather put aside, and that is the virtue of forgiveness. He says, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Colossians 3, 12, 13. We shared that this morning. We are to forbear one another and forgive one another. If any man have a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I think if I would ask for a show of hands this morning, how difficult it is to forgive, we would all lift our hands and say, yes, I agree. But it is one that we must, as believers, learn to work on every day of our lives. Because there will be those that will hurt us. There will be those that will despitefully use us. There will be those that will seek to destroy our lives and our testimony. But let us always remember this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that by the grace of God we are willing to forgive. We're willing to forgive and move on. Move on. Show a Christ-like mercy, a Christ-like kindness, a Christ-like humility, a Christ-like long-suffering. Forgive as Christ forgave you and I. The thought is this. Where would you and I be this morning were it not for the forgiveness of God in our lives? Did we ever stop and think about that? Where would you be? Where would I be? Were it not for the forgiveness of God in our lives? He forgave us of all our sins. As Brother Jeff spoke last night, no matter how great our sin may be, God forgives and He forgets. And you and I, as Christians, using our Christian virtues in our daily walk with the Lord, we have to learn to do the same thing, so that we too may have a closer walk with the Lord, so that our lives may be lived pleasing to Him each day, and that we might shine in the communities in which we live, and that others may want to know Jesus Christ as our first, as their Savior, as you and I know as our personal Savior. May that be the desire of our hearts today. And as Paul finished off, he said, do all in the name of Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father by Him. I trust the Lord will bless our hearts. And let us not forget these little virtues that are so important. Prayer. Rejoicing. Be thankful. Be forgiving. Speak kindly. All of these are part of our Christian life and our Christian living. And if we fail to do it, that's where we begin to falter in our lives, in our joy, in our strength, in our love for the Lord. And I don't think any of us there wants to do that. The desire of our hearts each day should be this, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. May that be your prayer this morning. May that be the sincere desire of your heart to be like Jesus, to be more like Him each day. May God bless and encourage your heart this morning for His name's sake. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for Your precious word and for these virtues that we have discussed this morning. May we as Your children, Lord, find these essentials in our lives that are important and use them every day. May we be a rejoicing people because of what we have. You said, rejoice, for Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, there is so much that we have. May we never be an ungrateful, unthankful people, but may we live each day rejoicing, looking upward to that moment in time when the clouds will burst and we shall see You face to face. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Bless each one this morning, we pray. Be with us throughout the remainder of the day and the services that will follow. May Your name be uplifted and glorified, and may Your people be strengthened and encouraged, we pray. And now as we go out to the food that has been prepared for us, we thank You for the hands that have prepared it, and we pray Your blessings upon it as we partake of it this morning, and we shall be careful to thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. God bless you.